the Public News Service Daily Newscast, August 9, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. On Tuesday, President Joe Biden announced the designation of a new national monument near the Grand Canyon. The latest move will conserve and protect nearly a million acres of Greater Canyon landscape, which holds sacred value to at least 12 Native tribes and nations.
The Grand Canyon Tribal Coalition, made up of tribal members and environmental groups, was responsible for the monument proposal and had called on the president to use his authority under the Antiquities Act to protect the area's wildlife, geology, water, and cultural sites from mining activity. Biden also took the opportunity to tout his administration's conservation and climate resilience policies.
Help right the wrongs of the past and conserve this land of ancestral footprints for all future generations. Over the years, hundreds of millions of people have traveled the Grand Canyon, awed by its majesty, but fewer are aware of its full history.
This designation marks the fifth new national monument established by President Biden, and a recent poll shows 75% of Arizona voters support the creation of a Grand Canyon National Monument. This comes just months after the announcement of Aviquame National Monument in Nevada.
The Biden-Harris administration also announced $44 million to strengthen climate resilience in the national park system. Now, from NBC News, the judge presiding over Donald Trump's election case has ordered attorneys from both sides to meet in court Friday to discuss proposed restrictions on what the former president can publicly disclose about evidence gathered in the investigation against him. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chotkin had ordered Special Counsel Jack Smith's office and Trump's lawyers to pick a date on or before Friday for a hearing. It's now scheduled for 10 a.m. Friday. And the fallout continues from last week's decision by North Dakota regulators to deny a permit for a controversial regional pipeline project. Opponents in Minnesota want officials to take notice and pump the brakes on their consideration of the plan.
The project in question is from Summit Carbon Solutions, a private company that wants to build a multi-state pipeline. It would carry carbon emissions from ethanol plants to be stored underground in North Dakota. Since that state declined Summit's permit application, Maggie Schubert with Clean Up the River Environment says it makes no sense for Minnesota to be putting time and effort into a review right now.
And if there is no project there on the other side of the border, it seems rather absurd to, you know, move this process forward and use government resources to do so.
The company says it plans to reapply for a North Dakota permit, but given the lengthy timeline and the Schubert feels the overall project isn't viable. Minnesota's Public Utilities Commission could not be reached for comment. I'm Mike Moen.
This is Public News Service. Workers at Austin-based YouTube Music recently won a second victory at the National Labor Relations Board.
Union organizers at YouTube Music, a streaming service owned by Google, are celebrating a decision by the NLRB, reaffirming that Google and Cognizant Technology Solutions are their joint employers. While workers are paid by Cognizant, the NLRB regional office in Texas found in March that Google exercises substantial direct and immediate control over employees' supervision, benefits, and hours of work. Google appealed the decision, and on July 19th, a three-member panel at the National NLRB refused to overturn the regional director's decision. Neil Gossel, a music generalist and member of the Alphabet Workers Union, says the decision has union members excited.
Everybody that I've talked to in the union, we were all very excited to hear that the national level of the NLRB upheld the regional decision. We all knew that it was kind of a tactic by Google to not have to come to the table.
In a statement, Google spokesperson Courtney Mancini said the company is not a joint employer and it disagrees with the NLRB decision, stating that Google, quote, does not control the employment terms or conditions of these Cognizant workers, end quote. Brett Pivato reporting.
Community colleges in Ohio pivoting with their degree and certificate offerings, that in order to stay relevant and try to keep people in local jobs.
President of Lorain County Community College, Marcia Ballinger, says in many cases, traditional factories that relied on manual labor are a thing of the past. Her college consulted with 80 regional employers before updating its curriculum to align with industry needs. Ballinger says new bachelor's, associate, and certificate programs are aimed at preparing students to work in microelectromechanical fields.
We are not only helping to build that qualified workforce, but part of our moral imperative is moving students, moving our community up the socioeconomic ladder.
Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
A two-year investigation by journalist Tina Vasquez found the H-2A program for guest farm workers is plagued by rampant allegations of wage theft, labor, trafficking, and abuse. Suzanne Potter has more in this Yes Magazine California News Service collaboration.
Statistics already show that farm workers are some of the lowest paid workers in the labor force. A large majority are Latino, mostly from Mexico, and 40% are undocumented. Vasquez thinks agricultural workers should be protected under the Fair Labor Standards Act.
Agricultural workers don't have very basic things in place that we take for granted as American workers, like overtime pay, rest breaks, water or shade breaks. These are still pretty basic things that they're fighting for.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here are some radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.